Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello and welcome to an hour of mind power. This is Donna Sebo, and today we're going to be talking about a subject that is so dear to my heart, and that is dogs. And we're going to be talking with Robin Fritz. She's in the Seattle area. She has written a delightful book called Bridging Species, Thoughts and Tales About Our Lives with Dogs. Robin, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Donna. I'm thrilled to be here.
Now, you have really been involved with dogs for a long time, and you have your special breeds that you really
love. I do. I live with two Cavalier King Charles Spaniels.
Right. Now, you have had a column called Reflections from Murphy, and you go into all kinds of discussions about dogs and cultural information and the involvement of living with them, how they affect our lives. You were a finalist for the Merrill Human Animal Bond Award. I didn't even know that kind of award existed. And also for the best internet column from the Dog Writers Association of America, which is an incredible plus for you. And like you said, you've got your Cavaliers, Murphy and Alki, and I've got their pictures right in front of me, but we can't forget about Grace the cat.
Grace the cat. Yes, she's here too.
Yes, she is an absolute doll. Now, with you, dogs have sort of been in your life for a while, but when did you, let's say, begin your real heart love affair with dogs?
Well, my first dog years ago, Maggie, was an English Cocker Spaniel, and we had a very, very close bond, very tight-knit for 10 years. And when she died, it's my friends and family were like, how can we look at Robin without Maggie? And as much as I loved her, and you know this yourself, as much as I loved her, I realized in recent years that I didn't really fully appreciate her as a family member until I started creating relationships with Murphy and Alki and now Grace the cat.
Mm-hmm. Now, I had got an email from you earlier and told you how much I was looking forward to doing this interview.
Yes.
Our beloved Scotty Kenzie died last night.
I'm so sorry to hear that.
When you have a pet in your life, they are family.
They are family.
They really are family.
For a lot of us.
Oh, yes. And one of the things that happens is that you realize, it really comes home to you, that these are very special creatures that are given, as I feel, a gift in your life. And they're very much like babies. They can't talk, but they have different ways of communicating. And they're only going to be with you for a short period of time.
Yes.
And I think that that is something for most of us who are animal lovers, I don't care what creatures we love, that that is something that often surprises us unless we have a macaw that can outlive us.
Right.
I mean, it's really something. But with our little fur people, their lifespans are not really that long. And we go through an interesting journey. And as you just mentioned, with Murphy, the dogs have taught you a lot. But you said something that I thought was very interesting about Murphy. Murphy lets you know if an earthquake was coming.
Yes.
And you have really paid attention to this. Tell us a little bit about Murphy and his special talent.
Actually, Murphy's full name is Murphy Brown. She's actually a girl.
Oh, I beg your pardon.
No, that's okay. Everybody thinks of Murphy as a boy, and and she laughs. She thinks that's very funny. But Murphy is now 12 years old, which is amazing to me. We just actually celebrated our 12th anniversary together. She was born 12 years ago in July.
Nice.
And she and I had been out and about in the neighborhood, and I started noticing her responses to people were different. She was very street smart. She could look at two or three people coming down the street and literally adapt her behavior to what she saw in them. Mm-hmm. And when I noticed other people were noticing it, I started wondering about what was going on in her head. And we also had illnesses that we shared in common, which I was very disturbed about and started questioning what was going on. So if you look at those two items as background information to the earthquake, you can understand where I was in a position where I was looking at this going, huh, what's going on in her head, and other people are noticing this, and how can I find out what it is?
Mm-hmm.
It was not woo-woo-y or hugely scientific. It was simply, I'm curious. I'm seeing things that I wasn't expecting that I should have noticed when my beloved other dogs were here and didn't.
Mm-hmm.
And then in those first few years of our life together, we had the very large earthquake in Seattle, February 28th, 2001.
Oh, that was a doozy.
That was. And we were sitting here. I work out of my home. We were sitting here, and she was just curling up for a nap. And she's a very – people who understand Spaniels will understand that Cavaliers in particular are very mild-mannered, relaxed, laid-back family dogs. They're
mm-hmm.
they're not going to protect you from anything but a cookie.
But I like that description.
Right.
And somebody that has, oh boy, that's so appropriate.
That's true. They're not like your terriers. They're just like, okay, you want to play? Let's play.
Mm-hmm.
But so when she was curling up to take a nap, and she was, his dogs circle, they start to get lower to the ground. I happened to be looking at her when she did that, and she suddenly, before she was all the way down, leaped up in the air and ran over to me and just was barking and frenetic. She was just absolutely frantic. And she jumped on me, and she sunk her teeth into my jean leg, and she started tugging and tugging and pulling on me. And I'm like, oh, my God, this dog is really sick and needs to go out, you know, all of a sudden.
Mm-hmm.
And we got out into the hallway, and still we heard this terrible noise and didn't know what it was. I thought finally that a small plane had crashed on our hillside here in West Seattle where we live, because they frequently cut the point, and we live backed up to a hillside. And I thought the noise was so loud and so reverberating in my head, and we were frozen there, that you know, it's one of those life-changing moments, Donna. You look at your dog and you look outside and you think, we're dead.
Mm-hmm.
But if we're not dead, I have a few seconds to save myself, but no time to save her as well, because I'm handicapped and couldn't pick her up and get out and down the street. And I thought, could I do that? Could I leave her? All this in a few seconds. And I turned and I looked at her, and she ran and she jumped in my arms, and that's when I realized it was an earthquake, and we basically stood there in the hallway braced with me bent over her. It was only later, when it was all over and everybody in the neighborhood had checked on each other, that I realized that she had gone berserk, literally berserk, and was dragging me out of the house fully 2 minutes before the earthquake actually hit here.
Mm-hmm.
So she actually... And I looked at her later, and I said, wait a minute, you knew the earthquake was coming. So, and I thought, okay, fine, animals may have different feelings and understandings and intuitive responses in their bodies to the electromagnetic frequency of an earthquake. That's one speculation. But the answer that day was that she knew it was coming, and she acted to save both our lives.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, I returned around and acted to save her. So my question then became, what is consciousness? How do I explore this with her? And what does that mean for all of us living with our animals?
Mm-hmm. That is something that caused you to really start getting involved with becoming an animal communicator.
Right. Intuitive, yes.
Now, there are so many of my listeners that would just love to know how it is you started to develop those capacities. And I know what you're talking about, and it's so easy for us to dismiss this talent and capability. And I know lots of times I ignore my own. It's just what we do as people. We just,
right.
We get so busy being busy that we don't pay attention. And there are so many signals that the animals can give us to let us know, and they're very subtle many times. Now, in this situation with the earthquake, that was anything but subtle.
Right.
Give us some insights into animal communication, because I really do have an audience that loves their animals.
Right. For me, for a long time, I was simply observing and looking at what other people did intuitively, how they talked with their animals, animal communication, and looking at it from a very rational sense. I would actually talk with Murphy and observe her reactions, and she was very cooperative. She really wanted to speak with me, and it was like she'd sit there and patiently stare at me when I'd say, Murphy, talk to me, tell me something, and she'd like, oh my gosh, is she doing this again? And then I realized it wasn't as hard, that what you need to do is simply relax your judgment.
Mm-hmm.
It's tweak your mindset. If you can change your mindset, then talking with an animal, or what I do mostly is talk with other beings, with mountains, with earthquakes, with hurricanes, with land systems, with people's houses, with cars. And that grew from talking with animals. And I think what it is if you're willing as a person to look at another being, whether it's an animal or a mountain, and say, hello, how are you? My name is Robin. My name is whatever. And would you like to talk with me? And simply being open without judgment. But it starts with challenging your mindset and saying, we as humans are equal to everything else. They just look different than we do. And how do we get past the judgment that says we're better than they are because we build skyscrapers, we're somehow better? Well, orcas live, what, 70 to 90 years, and they don't need TV or cars. Mm-hmm. So what does that tell us about how they adapt to their environment and how they speak with us?
It's really a fascinating thing, because if you go back into various cultures,
yes,
there have always been those individuals that were willing to be, let's say, one with their environment. And they would say, in many different cultures, whether it was Celtic or it was Native American, it doesn't make any difference, South American, they would say, the rocks have spirit, everything has spirit, everything is alive, but you have to listen. And one of the things that fascinated me was the story of the Lord of the Rings.
Yes.
In there is the depiction of the communication of life forms with life forms of all levels, and how frequently the only way you can ever be aware of that is by doing exactly what you're saying, paying attention and listening.
Right. Well, excuse me. I had a great deal of trouble, and I think your audience will appreciate this, because we all have a great deal of trouble trying to talk with other beings in our own terms.
Mm-hmm.
So we have people that are trying to communicate with dolphins, for example, by having them push colored buttons. And it's like the dolphins are going, hello, we've been trying to say hello forever. Can't you just say hello? And I spent a lot of time looking at Murphy and going, talk to you. And the energy of wanting to talk to her actually stopped it.
Mm-hmm.
And once I just relaxed and let it come through, then I could talk to many other beings. And one of the things I did, and your audience might be interested in this, is tried to speak to her without language, and my other dog as well before the cat came along. So I thought, how can I unblock the language aspect and try to let my heart communicate with them, my soul and my being that doesn't need to rely on voice and dialogue. And so when they needed a bath one day, I put them each in the bathtub, and I said, okay, I would like to speak with Murphy's soul. I would like to hear the voice of her soul in music. So without words, I just opened my mouth and let Murphy's soul come out in music. And this very lilting light melody came out, and I just let it go. Just, it wasn't channeling. It was simply listening to her heart and letting it express itself in a way that my head wasn't blocking it intellectually, if that makes sense.
You have had a number of experiences. I really enjoyed the chapter that you had on violence.
Yes.
And you said, you make some very, very good comments, how we love our mysteries and
right.
horror and action flicks and this type of thing. But Murphy often will just, you said, look at you to say, excuse me, are you brain dead?
Right.
Why are you watching this stuff?
Yes, except and, she likes sumo wrestling, so what can I say?
I have had more people that have had animals that have said they love the Animal Channel or they have a particular favorite show.
Right.
And we have a friend that has a Scottish Terrier, and she's a rescue dog. And
mm-hmm.
they bonded very, very quickly. And she just lets him know that he can watch some of his programs, but there's a certain point in time, by golly, she's going to get to watch her show, which is the Animal Planet. And he turns it on, and he said, she just loves it. She just sits there, and she just watches, and she's just happy as she can be. Animals have a way of letting us know what they like and what they don't like,
right.
and they are intelligent. And I really got a kick out of your story about your beloved Archie, who was a Jack Russell
yes.
Terrier. And they just really were best buddies, but she would just get so upset with him because Russells are really high-action dogs. And they are just
passive-aggressive.
Oh, geez, they're just amazing dogs. And it takes a certain kind of person to be at ease with them because they're just go, 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 go. They remind me of the Energizer Bunny on
right.
steroids. And by golly, when she'd have enough, all she'd do is pin him down and she'd sort of look away. And I just could get that visual so well.
Yes. It's actually amazing.
She's a hoot.
You know, it is amazing how Archie's person and I were very concerned that Murphy, being laid back and a spaniel, would be injured or just terrorized by this little Jack Russell Terrier. But we kept putting them together and letting them play. And it took a number of 3 or 4 months, maybe longer, before Murphy just said, I've had enough. And people mm-hmm. told us that would happen. But she didn't turn on him with violence. She just turned away from him. So when he was trying to take her toy, she just took her toy and turned her back. And he was like, wait a minute, you changed the rules. And it was very fascinating to watch them, because if you watch two animals working out their relationship, completely different breeds, mm-hmm. one passive-aggressive, one very laid-back, and yet they manage to not only overcome their differences but create a serious friendship. And one day I noticed he was visiting, and I looked down, and there was no noise, and I looked over, and here's Archie on his back, and Murphy had clearly had enough. She was standing over him. She had one paw on his throat, pinning him to the sofa, and she wouldn't look at me or him. She's mm-hmm. just staring off into the distance like, la, 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 and he could not move. And for weeks after that, every time he pushed her too far, she rolled him over and pinned him. Now, but a Jack Russell Terrier could easily have taken this dog apart if he'd wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
But what they were doing was learning to get along. So why can't we practice that with the United Nations?
Well, why can't we practice that just in everyday life?
In everyday life, going to the grocery store.
So you have the Karate Kid spaniel here. And
yes. We couldn't believe it when we actually saw her. When we actually saw her pinning this dog down. I mean, she literally turned around with a trick of her foot. He was down, and she was pinning him down. And I was like, how could she do that?
She's been watching those karate shows, and she.
I guess sumo wrestling. You just made
there
me realize it was watching sumo wrestling that did
That's
it. Maybe.
That's right. And she said, "What did guy? I've seen this on television, and it works.
It works,
guys. Yeah." Now, something that's a little bit more of a serious nature
yes.
is about heart disease in
yes.
dogs.
Yes.
And you had a dog by the name of Sophie.
Right.
And it's quite an interesting story. Now, this is particular to Cavaliers, and this is I think, quite significant, because usually people do not consider heart disease in dogs. We know about heartworms, depending on where you are in the country.
Mm-hmm.
Those can be, you know, gotten, and that's pretty serious stuff. There's medication for it. But tell us about heart disease in dogs.
Actually, heart disease in dogs is really fairly common. It's one of the leading killers of dogs.
Mm-hmm.
And in Cavaliers, unfortunately, it tends to be a problem that shows up frequently. Now, when you breed dogs and you reduce the gene pool, you do tend to get problems.
Mm-hmm.
You also get a beautiful dog like mine with temperaments that you can understand and deal with. But heart disease is actually fairly common, and you're seeing more and more animals get it. And in my personal opinion is that it's brought on, like it is in people, from environmental problems, from mm-hmm. vaccinations, from a number of things besides breeding. And, you know, I see a lot of dogs, purebred and mixed breed dogs, that do have heart disease. And I think people don't talk about it so much because it tends to be something that comes on as dogs get older. With the Cavalier breed in particular, I was very aware that when I got Murphy, that 50% of the breed would have a heart murmur by age 5, and 90% of them, or 98% of them, by the time they're 8 or 9. Murphy's 12 and Alki's 9, and they're both completely heart clear.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a large part of that was that I early on realized how bad vaccines were, and I gave them really good quality of food and supplements, and, you know, I treat them health-wise like I treat myself, and we got lucky. It was one thing that we haven't had to deal with. But it is an issue, and I think it is an issue, and I think a lot of medical treatment is available now to help it. A lot of these Cavaliers, for example, who get heart murmurs can go for many years without medication, and generally a pill will help mm-hmm. them, and they'll be fine for years. This little dog, Sophie, was a rescue dog in the sense that her family had financial difficulties, and this dog was, I forget now how old she was, 7. Oh, no, I think she was younger. She was like 5 or 6. A little bit older than my Murphy at the time. And this wonderful woman who was her partner had wanted a Cavalier for a long, long time. But they had financial issues, and it was a choice between taking care of a number of medical issues that Sophie had, meaning some really bad teeth and some other issues, or having her children give up their animals.
Mm-hmm.
And she made a very brave decision in calling us for help. And several weeks before that, she had gone into her vet and said, you know, my dog isn't feeling well. Does she have heart disease? And the vet said, no, let's give her her rabies and her parvovirus vaccinations, which they did, and which you cannot do if you have a sick dog. You don't vaccinate a sick dog, and you don't give multiple vaccinations. And but I didn't realize at the time what her problem was when we went to pick her up, and neither did her people, but she essentially died in the back seat of our car on the way home, and it was very devastating for all of us.
Mm-hmm.
And the question is, what do you do here? I think vets are becoming more aware now. This was back in 2001, actually several weeks before 9/11, and I don't think they were understanding then the relationship of certain kinds of medical treatments to heart disease, and I don't think they recognized what was going on, and we all make mistakes. But one thing I wonder is that we took this dog, and she became part of our family for a few hours, and mm-hmm. we were there with her when she died, and maybe that saved her family from having to watch that. But it happens,
mm-hmm.
and you do the best you can to take care of them. Murphy's 12 now. We thought with her health problems, she wouldn't make it till 3. We celebrated when she turned 5. She's now 12. She's in great health, but she has arthritis. So she's on medication that makes her feel better. So the question is, how much money and time and effort do we go in to support our animal companions, and how do we define health for them and for ourselves, and how do we define it together?
All of those are very, very good comments. There's so much when it comes to animals that we are beginning to recognize. And I was talking with a person who's been very much involved with dogs for most of her life, primary breed, but she said, we went through a very heavy lesson. We had this beautiful little boy, this dog that we had adopted. As it turned out, it was a Scottish Terrier. And she said he ended up developing lymphoma when he was 2 years old, and he died, and we were just devastated. Well, they did some research, and her husband, like so many people, would go and put insecticides out in the yard, you know, to take care of weeds or whatever, and that was very normal. He learned that, and it's just almost devastated him, he learned that by doing that, that the dogs, when they walk over the grass, if they lick anything on the grass or they happen to eat a piece of grass or, you know, have anything around them, they're absorbing them, and they're relatively so small that it becomes very toxic.
Toxic overload.
Yes, and then that creates lymphoma. And we learned that with our little Scottish Terrier. He lived to be 9. I learned that from a vet who deals with farm animals. And she said she had never seen a small dog like a Scotty get lymphoma the way he did. But she had seen it often enough with farm dogs. And they felt that it was very strongly related to pesticides that would get into the water or on the ground, and they lick the pads of their feet or whatever, and they're absorbing it, and the liver cannot process it out. If it does, it only processes the portion, and then after a period of time, depending on their size, then it creates conditions in the body.
Right.
So, you know, there's all of these things that we need to be aware of. Your book, Bridging the Species, is just Bridging Species, Thoughts and Tales About Our Lives with Dogs, and I love your spaniels. They are just
adorable.
And the one has the darker coloring, and the other
That's
one has a redhead. Yeah,
and Murphy.
And Murphy, and she just knows she looks good. I mean, that's all I can say. But I really like going full circle with what you were talking about right in the beginning when I was asking you about being an animal communicator. I think we do try to put things into context with our own communication capacities. And I think if we're open and we're receptive, that we can sometimes have this awareness with our creatures, whether it's a fish or it's a dog, a cat, I don't care what it is, or even any wild creature out in the yard. There's so many things that go on in the way of communication. And it does not hurt for us to feel that. And, well, you might be thought you're dinky, but I'll tell you what. If people think you're dingy when you're talking to yourself, just tell them you've got a you know, Bluetooth in your ear. Nobody knows.
That's right.
I mean, I was watching a woman the other day, and she was going, da-da-da-da-da-da. She was eating, and I'm going, I got to check this lady out. Is she
doing?
Or what? But anyway, Bridging Species is book, Robin. I think it'd make a great holiday gift for someone who loves dogs. What is your website for people to go to?
My website is Alchemy West, Inc. Alchemy spelled A-L-C-H-E-M-Y West, I-N-C .com. Or they can check my name, Robin, R-O-B-Y-N, Fritz, F-R-I-T-Z. It's also available as an e-book, but they can find that information on my website. But the book is a lot of fun. You've been wonderful, and I think that message is to just relax and love our families and let them love us back, and wonderful, make great things happen.
I agree, and they're teachers of a special type.
Yes.
And you grow up, and you learn if you're willing.
That's right.
Willing to do that.
That's right.
Well, Robin, thank you for being my guest today.
Thank you very much. I enjoyed it.
And for those of you listening, if you love dogs as much as I do and as much as Robin does, Bridging Species Thoughts and Tales About Our Lives with Dogs. Go to her website, Alchemy West, www.donnasebo.inc.com and find out more. This is Donna Sebo. We are taking a break. When we come back, I have a story or two to share with you. And then a little bit of this and a little bit of that. So don't go away.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature. However, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Hi, this is Donna. Our toll-free telephone number, if you'd like for me to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight, is 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. And all I need from you is your first name or initial. After that, let me tell you what I perceive, and then you're welcome to ask a question about anything that you like. Also, don't forget that I am still collecting those stories about paranormal experiences, and if you've had one that had an impact on your life, whether it is in animal communication or it is dreams, out-of-body experiences, whatever it might be, won't you send me your story and be sure to put your contact information in with your email. I am collecting. My goal is to have 100 stories to put into this book, real-life experiences that have been recorded by people that have found meaning in those experiences and how it impacts their thinking and their lives. And I'd like to hear your story as well. So send me an email, send it to Donna at DelphiInternational.com. That's Donna at DelphiInternational.com. Well, I wanted to share with you, since we were talking about animals, the way animals communicate. I've had so many special experiences, and I'm not a professional animal communicator, but there have been so many happenings throughout my life with animals that I hold very, very dear in my heart. And there was this neighbor that we had many, many years ago, and he had this, it was a family, actually. They had this huge German Shepherd. I mean, he was big, well, like about 100-plus pounds. And we learned, after we had lived here for a while, how intimidating this dog was. And we found out that everybody in the neighborhood was terrified of him. And he would go around the neighborhood just like he had from the time he had been a young pup, canvassing it, because that was his job. He had been raised on a farm, and he had been on, you know, dozens of acres of land. Nobody cared, because nobody lived out on the land, excepting his family, who had this farm. Well, they decided they were going to move into quote-unquote the city environment, and they brought this German Shepherd with them. Magnificent animal. I mean, he was just absolutely phenomenal. And I'll call him Duke. Duke was a dog, if he walked close to you and he went, roof, I mean, he had a voice that was like a megaphone. It was deep, it was rich, and he didn't hesitate to use it. You'd freeze. Now, we were living next door to this family. And, of course, we had a Scottish Terrier at the time whose name was Mr. Smoke. And we didn't have a fence around our yard. So Duke would come over and would visit. And he was always checking out Mr. Smoke. Duke was very protective. He was very protective of the environment. And we'd been living in our home for about 2 years. And I was very overwhelmed by Duke because his dog was just huge. And every time I came around, he would talk to me. And he would just have this presence. He let me know that he was there. Well, it wasn't too hard to miss him. And so I didn't give too much thought to him, but I was always very concerned about Mr. Smoke because I had been out at an event one evening not too far from where we were living. And I told my husband, I said, I got to go home right now. And my husband said, what's the matter with you? I said, something's wrong at the house. I've got to go. I come home, and it only took me like under 5 minutes to get home. And I'm opening up the back door to the backyard, and I see Duke has Mr. Smoke's head in his mouth. Now, Duke is a huge dog. Mr. Smoke wasn't moving. And I looked at Duke and I said, you let my dog down. Put some, you know, Mr. Smoke down. I had a very authoritarian voice and I just put him down. And he did. And then he just quietly walked away. Well, there was a bit of a scratch, but Mr. Smoke wasn't hurt at all. And I realized that this was something that Mr. Smoke apparently had gotten a little sassy with him, as terriers can do. And he just did the big dog thing saying, excuse me, I'm bigger than you. Don't mess around with me. Well, Duke was with us for a lot of years. I would say about 5 years, 6 years. I guess that's not a lot of years. When one day we noticed something was happening next door, and we were talking with the husband, and when we were talking with the husband, we found out that there was a divorce going on. I had been telling my husband that Duke really, really looked bad. I said, my heart goes out to him. I just am absolutely concerned about the dog. And, of course, I couldn't say anything because the dog wasn't mine. But he would just talk to me and talk to me. Well, one day, the ex-wife-to-be comes over, knocks on my door, and she said, I'm going away on a trip. Will you feed Duke? And I said, me? You got to be kidding. She said, my dog really likes you. And I said, he does? So anyway, I said, all right, I'll be happy to do that. Well, they had put Duke in their garage, and this dog had to stay there. He wasn't allowed out, and he was there, I don't remember for how many days, but I'd go every day, and he would just talk to me and talk to me and talk to me. And I watched a very healthy dog go down to just a very sad condition within a short period of time. And I said to my husband, I said, something's very wrong. I said, he's lost his heart. And when we found out what was happening, more details about what was happening with the family and the nasty divorce and everything else, I realized that Duke just really wasn't going to be around very long because his family was being destroyed. And that was his whole life. Well, one day I was out in my yard, in the backyard. Remember, we didn't have a fence. And Duke walks into the yard. Now, again, here's this huge dog. His head was just massive. And he walked up to me, and he put his head up against me. And then I put my hands underneath his head, and I just held him. And I realized, one, the dog was saying goodbye. I just knew I wasn't going to see him again. And he communicated in his actions with me how much he cared about me. Now, Duke had shown this caring one time when someone had tried to come up to the house, and he got between me as I recognized all this commotion that was going on in my front yard by Duke. I'd gone and opened my front door, and there was a guy standing in the driveway, and he said, "Is this your dog?" I said, "No." And he said, "He's just not very friendly." And I said, "That appears to be the case. He doesn't really care for you very much." He said, "I think I'll leave." I said, "That might be a good idea." Now, in that moment, I realized that there was something special that Duke felt about me. Why, I don't know. Well, to wind up the story a little bit, I learned it was about 6 months later, after this very special experience that I had with Duke coming over to me, putting his head in my hands, and saying goodbye. I learned from the husband that Duke knew that he wasn't going to be living very much longer, that he was going to be put to sleep. And the man had called the Humane Society, and they hadn't taken care of this dog. They called the Humane Society because they needed to have Duke put down. Do you know, that dog, which would never have gone with anyone, when the Humane Society truck came, he jumped into it willingly. He left on his own. And it was about 2 days after he had come over to me. And when I learned about this, that was a very important experience for me to show me, in addition to other things that had happened, that animals have an understanding. And Duke had made a decision that it was better to die than to try to live in the environment that he was in. And so he willingly went with the Humane Society to be euthanized. And it was a very sad story, but he gave me a gift that made me aware that you can communicate with your animals. And our little Kenzie, who passed away last night, she had a series of strokes. Dogs have the same physiological problems that people do. And we knew something was going on, and our little companion with Kenzie, Victor, knew something was happening. And there was this awareness of change that was going to be evolving. And she let me know in her own way that she knew that she was very ill and that she was very sick. So when you have your pets, appreciate them and know that, yes, their time is limited with you, but don't take them for granted. Realize that there's something very special that they're giving you in their life that's going to touch your heart and your mind, giving you some wonderful memories and sometimes some very painful experiences, because you realize how helpless you really are in being able to sometimes stop what is, well, inevitable for all of us, and that is saying goodbye to this Earth experience. But there's a story about the Rainbow Bridge relative to animals, and that's a good thing to remember, because they all bring their gifts, and like all of us, they know they're here for a short time, and they live every moment. That's one lesson that our animals teach us. They live in the now. They don't worry about too much about the future, but they live today with zest and vigor and enthusiasm. And they always like their treat. This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break. When we come back, I've got more of the Celtic Zodiac to share with you, and also some travel tips. Yes, holiday travel's coming up, so I'll give you a few tips there. We'll come back in just a moment. If you want to talk to me, 888-815-9756. We'll be right back.
Enter the magical world of God's kiss.
He sees a large open area of valley ground covered with a thick green grass. In the open space are many other children and animals. All kinds of animals. And all of the animals are talking. He can understand every word they are saying.
God's Kiss is a beautifully illustrated children's book about a young boy's journey into a valley with children and animals from all over the world. They are gathering together to experience the wonder of love and beauty that will affect their lives forever. A talking book audio narrated by the author Donna Sebo accompanies this wonderful storybook, creating a special magic all of its own. This book package makes a wonderful gift for those special children in your life, ages 3 to 10. God's Kiss book and talking book audio are only $19.95 plus shipping and handling. And the author Donna Sebo will autograph and personalize your book if you request it. Call 800-872-8852. You can also order through Donna Sebo's website, www.delphiinternational.com.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Hi, this is Donna. Now, 888-815-9756 is the telephone number if you'd like to call in and chat with me today. And I'd be delighted to light up your life with a little bit of insight. Tomorrow, this guest that I'm having, you really need to listen to. Erno Daniel. He's a physician. He has put one of the best books together regarding viruses and bacteria and how finally the medical establishment is beginning to accept that this may be at the base of a lot of physiological conditions that we have been totally unaware of how to look at. Now, this isn't something that you can see with the eye. You have to have super sophisticated electronic microscopes so that you can actually find these critters. And believe me, this was an eye-opener. We're going to be talking with Dr. Daniel about stealth germs in your body. This is really going to be an interesting show. I hope you will join us. And don't forget, if you want to find out about the other guests, just check in with us here at bbsradio.com, Station 1, The Donna Sebo Show. And you'll get a listing of all the show information and the different people that are coming up. Now, for those of you that would like the Celtic astrological interpretations, these are animal, I don't want to say animal totems, but I guess it could be considered that, that are associated, according to their history, with particular times of the year. So, we have covered already December 24th, all the way through to May 12th. So now we're going to be going May 13th to June 9th. Can you imagine? Your animal symbol is a seahorse. And it means that you're very adaptable and easygoing, and you can fit in wherever you are. And you can be comfortable in just about any kind of environment or situation. Very, very adaptable. You also are very alert, sharp, superb memory, and you are resourceful. You are clever enough that you can figure out solutions that other people might even, you know, may never be able to relate to. Why? Because you have a capacity to stay calm in situations where most people get very, very agitated. So you are someone that's a handy-dandy person to have around when action is rocking and rolling. Now, for those of you born between June 10th and July 7th, you're a carefree bird, the beautiful bird, the wren. You're always going to new heights, even in the face of adversity. You do not let anything keep you down. You're resourceful, you like new ideas, you don't mind evaluating them, and if they're not worth anything, you're happy to toss them. You really keep a good attitude about life, too, no matter what happens, because it is just the way you think. You have this positive attitude, that's built into you, and you'll say, okay, this is a stinking situation, but by golly, I can, somehow or another we'll work through it. I don't know how, but we will. Now, you are a popular person. The reason that people like being around you is that you are really someone that if people need help, they know they can talk to you. And that is a very, very good trait. Now, what about July 8th through August the 4th? You're a horse. Well, that's not a bad thing. You're charming, graceful, but also very headstrong. You know just how to present yourself. You don't mind competition. And you're gutsy. You have the brains and talent to back up this gutsy part of yourself so that you end up landing right on top of whatever you're trying to conquer. Now, you have an ability to work with navigation and directions, and you usually have a pretty good idea where you're going to be heading. And usually, you have a straight track in your mind. And then last for today, this is August the 5th through September the 1st, you're a salmon. That's your sign from the Celtic astrology. You are not afraid to go against the normal direction. Just like salmon, you can swim upstream. You know what you need to do. You have telepathic capacities, but you also have the ability really to understand people and to know how to work with them in unique situations. You have imagination, a lot of vision. You are a person that is a deep personality. Sometimes people may think you're a little dreamy. Don't stay focused, but you believe that you need to trust your heart and you need to trust what you earnestly feel within you. So that intuitive process gives you more wisdom than many times people are willing to recognize. Well, that's our four signs, and we have four more to go, so we'll finish those up tomorrow. And we'll be going from September the 2nd through December the 23rd. So if you're in any of that time frame, we're going to be talking about you tomorrow. Donna Sebo here. Quickly, I know we're just about out of time. This is the beginning of the holiday season. People are really, really anxious to get through the airports, and they say use technology as a time saver. Of course, you want to be able to get your boarding pass online. That's something that's a given. But you also could sign up for airline flight alerts, which can be delivered by phone, email, and or text message. If you use Twitter, follow your airline and all the airports on your itinerary, you can go back online 24 hours on your flight to reconfirm details. Of course, you can get your boarding pass, as I mentioned, that way. And you might find that you can skip an extra line and save some money by prepaying checked bag fees and printing your own bag check label. All of this and more is available to you now. So understand, there's a lot of things going on today, and when the holidays feel like they are just coming down on you too fast, you're going to have to be at the airport. Remember always to give yourself plenty of time, a minimum of 2 hours in advance before your flight leaves. This is Donna Sebo. Remember, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. Have a magnificent day or evening wherever you are, and we'll be back here, same time, same place, talking about stuff, Jim. So don't go and miss that. We'll look forward to seeing you right here. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.